Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Happy Thanksgiving, Denver. In this morning for Chad and Nate, here's Chad Andrus and Matt Smith.
Happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. Appreciate you jumping on board with us. We're going an extra hour normally than what Mark and Mike and Millennial Ben go. So I've taken you all the way up until 10 o'clock this morning, and then it'll be NFL football rest of the day right here on The Fan. We've got all three games coming your way. Chicago, Detroit, Las Vegas, Dallas, Buffalo, New Orleans will all be on the docket after we hand it off to the folks there.
By the way,
the NFL broadcast at 10.
By the way, there's another pick. I've kind of been looking over our, you know, we had our little segment, and if you want a little action, you know, a little taste, something to keep your mind occupied while you're with the family for Thanksgiving. Got a little play that I like today. TJ Hockenson. Over 4.5 receptions today. With Jared Goff being back, that's at plus 118, I think, FanDuel right now. Hockenson's hit that in 3 of the last 4 home games, 6 of 10 overall, and 4 of the last 5, averaging 5.4 receptions today. I think we were talking about a little bit earlier that if the Lions want to move the football, they got to get him involved. They got to get DeAndre Swift involved. I do like TJ Hockenson over 4.5 receptions today. DeAndre Swift, longest rush over 15.5 yards. He's going to bust one against the Bears. DeAndre Swift's getting in the end zone today. He's hit it in the last 2 games. And no Khalil Mack, no Akeem Hicks for the Bears today. This could be the day for Dan Campbell's Lions. So those are 2 little nuggets there I like.
Got about 90 minutes, so get your bets in to make that game palatable. We'll use that word on Thanksgiving as it will kick off Chicago at Detroit. So story this week, Matt, is... coming out of Chicago, I don't know if it's accurate or not, but there was a report saying that Matt Nagy has been informed he will be fired after this game, regardless of the result.
I found it so comical. I've been begging for this for years now, begging for this. And why would you give who tells somebody they're going to be fired? This is why I don't believe it. Have you ever heard of a situation where someone says, we're going to fire you at the end of the week? We're going to let you coach a game with the knowledge you're getting canned afterwards.
Sometimes it happens like in college football just because of the buyouts and the contract stipulations, right? They'll let guys finish out a year and, you know, then they'll agree to part ways or whatever the case may be.
They're not firing Nagy. They're not going to do it. This franchise won't let me be happy.
Well, here's why it's interesting to me, right? The Bears sit at 3-7 right now and are certainly no lock to beat the Lions today, the winless Lions, on Thanksgiving. But Nagy, in his 4th year, went from 12-4 NFC North champion playoff appearance to 8-8, finishing 3rd in his division, 8-8, finishing 2nd in his division, and now sitting at 3-7. In year number 4. Bears have never fired a head coach in the season before it ended.
Yep.
And this is a team that's over 100 years old.
I'm right? pretty sure she's been around the entire time.
So I'm skeptical that they're going to do it today. The one thing that makes me a little cautious as I look at this game, if you are tempted to place a wager, is if the report is accurate, he might go out guns a-blazing. Just looking forward to
his next job. What that would translate to for the Bears. I'm trying to think of
Andy Dalton, baby, air it out.
Without Allen Robinson today, how do you air it out? You know, I mean, Darnell Mooney got 16 targets last week. How many more can he possibly get this week?
Okay, so you grew up around the Bears and in the Chicago area.
Yes,
so
sir.
Before I get to the next point, how it relates to us here on The Fan and in Denver today.
Yeah.
I will say 12-4 division title, 8-8, now at 3-7. Should they fire Matt Nagy, whether it's today or at the end of the season? Should he be gone?
I've had his walking papers ready for several years now. Yes, he should be gone. If you're asking me if he should be gone, absolutely.
Okay,
he's been terrible.
In year number four, a division title, two 500 seasons, he's never had a losing record until what looks to be this year.
Those have been paper tigers, though. Those have been paper tigers. They had a lot of really good defenses. Matt Nagy was brought in from the Andy Reid coaching tree. He was supposed to be this dynamic offensive play caller. He has not been. He's been horrible. And every time he's back calling the plays, they seem to struggle. So, you know, it will be interesting, like you said, if he's getting fired, if that report was true, which, like I said, I do not believe it is. But if it was true, then I do think you might see him mix it up a little bit today. But like I said, I'd be surprised.
Okay, so you said you've had his walking papers for a long time. How long?
2 years. I thought he should have been gone 2 years ago.
After an 8-8 season, after winning a division and going 500, you thought he should have been fired.
It was so bad and so dysfunctional that year that it was clear it wasn't going anywhere. Which, by the way, does that sound familiar to you?
Well, that's my point. So Vic Fangio, 7-9 in year one, second in the AFC West, 5-11 a year ago, and now sitting at 5-5, where it is clearly dysfunctional. It clearly does not have a path forward with his style and his offensive coordinator. Why is it even a question?
Because they don't have an owner, and this is a franchise in transition, and you don't want to really shake the boat without a captain.
I think this is George Payton's opportunity to shake the boat because he doesn't have somebody to approval.
He moved Von Miller. He rocked the boat enough. I mean, it's not easy to trade away a franchise player, even if it is an expiring pass rusher at 32 years old.
If you think that's rocking the boat, wait till this season ends.
Right. And No, I'm with you. But I mean, you're talking about mid-year. How much can you really do mid-year, short of actually firing a coach? There isn't a ton you can do mid-year, but he's done a lot. I mean, he paid $90 million to Cortland Sutton and Tim Patrick over the last week. And got a second and third for Vaughn, which was fantastic value. And I talked about this with Nate Jackson on Monday, that George Payton's midseason grade for me is a pretty solid A, really.
I like George Payton. I think he's done an exceptional job.
Stephen Weatherly, the trade he brought in from Minnesota, Stephen Weatherly's even contributed. So, I mean, look, he's done some good things mid-year so far. I mean, this team is a different story, but if you're looking from a managerial standpoint, from an organizational standpoint about the future, he set them up with a lot of flexibility. And I think that was the biggest key for him this year, is gaining the most flexibility he could to take this in all sorts of different directions over the offseason. Whether you're going to actually legitimately pursue the Rodgers, Wilson, Watson sweepstakes, or if you're going to set yourself up for the flexibility to continue building this football team, continue building this offensive line, continue building the defensive line, replace Von Miller. If you're going to find a way to get an inside linebacker who's not going to get hurt, I think they're going to pay Kenny Young, too. I think that was a great in-season move. I mean, this guy, look, they have set themselves up with some flexibility here in the offseason, and it'll be really interesting to see. Like I said, I mentioned earlier today, and I've said this a few times, that I think the odds-on favorite to be the quarterback next year is Teddy Bridgewater. Now people hit us up on the text line and say, well, you know, they're going to lose the fan base. I mean, are they? I mean, are they really going to lose the fan base? I'm just asking you. What does that mean? What does that mean? People are still going to go. I mean, yeah, sure. Look, you've had some no-shows this year. You've got to remain competitive if you want people to keep showing up to your games. That's a no-brainer. They have to find a way to get better. It's clearly not good enough. You're not going to get that argument from me. But if you're looking at this realistically, I mean, you don't have a very strong NFL free agent class for quarterbacks at all. The draft is horrible. I personally, from an organizational standpoint, don't see why it would not be smart to punt that decision to 23, personally.
Because it burns another year of you just not being competitive.
Right, but it also
another year of prime for your players that are effective.
And you're not wrong. But at the same time, do you then go out and make a move to get the wrong guy in here if you can't get Rodgers or Wilson?
What, does that mean Watson's the
wrong guy? No. Excuse me. I meant if you can't. Yeah, well, I'm sure to a lot of people he's the wrong guy. But I mean, look, from a football perspective, that's the guy I'd go after, honestly. If litigation settles within the next few months.
He's the youngest.
Yeah, and I mean, he's been a winner at every level. so far, you know? I mean, he's taken that team. Look at what the Texans are without him.
He's the youngest, and he probably, quite honest, will be the cheapest when it comes to what you have to give up.
Right.
Because of the legal situation.
Yeah.
And the reputation.
But who knows how that's all going to play out, right? So that's a tough one to figure out because he's got, what, like 25 cases against him right now? Something like that? It's nuts.
The point I'm making, if it has been a no-brainer for you and the Bears faithful that Matt Nagy not only should be gone, whether it's after this game or after this season, after going 12-4, 8-8, 8-8, and now sitting at 3-7, then why would it even be a discussion here when Vic Fangio has gone 7-9, 5-11, and is sitting at 5-5? That's all I'm saying.
And you're absolutely right. I was just, I think that what the reason is because they're in transition. And they don't know who they are. They don't have an identity.
That's just a perfect opportunity for George Payton to take advantage of his power and his flexibility before an owner can say no. Chad Andrus, Matt Smith in for Mark and Mike today. Let's get into the MASH unit that is the Denver Nuggets and where exactly they can go from here because it is
it's
not
rough.
Pretty. It's not pretty. Right now, coming up next on The Fan.
Happy Thanksgiving, Denver. In this morning for Chad and Nate, here's Chad Andrus and Matt Smith.
Happy Thanksgiving, Denver. I am Matt Smith, and that is Chad Andrus. And this is Thanksgiving Day. We hope you are having a great morning. It is 9:15 in Denver. Beautiful day in the Mile High City. Chad isn't a movie guy, apparently. Now we're just breaking this down. We were just having a conversation off air. I was asking him, what are good Thanksgiving movies? By the way, if you have a good one, please hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line. Thanksgiving movies. Obviously, Thanksgiving sitcoms like stick out to me more than Thanksgiving movies do.
Well, it's such a low-hanging fruit for sitcom writers, right? Because they can get the whole family there and make all the stereotypical jokes and crack on the family political conversations and the uncle drunk and, you know, anything else. I mean, for a sitcom, it's the lowest hanging fruit there is to do a holiday show, right?
I was asking, is Planes, Trains, Automobiles a Thanksgiving or a Christmas movie? Don't give me a holiday movie. Or is it just like a blanket coverall? Like, are we just doing holiday movie coverall? Give me a Thanksgiving-specific movie, 303-713-1043.
This is what you were just referred to. I am the absolute world's worst at remembering anything about movies at all. Like, I can tell you, I saw that and so-and-so was in it. I don't remember the story, what happened. I don't remember the lines. I don't remember the specific scenes. I'm terrible.
I think Planes and Trains was Thanksgiving. And if it is, that's probably the best one. I love Planes. Oh, The Big Chill. Jeff Goldblum. That's a Thanksgiving movie.
Big Chill was a good movie.
Yeah.
I do recall that.
Yeah, see? See? We're getting somewhere.
Wasn't Kevin Costner the dead guy?
Yeah, I think
wasn't
so.
Wasn't he in the coffin? I think so. I remember nothing.
I don't remember.
I'm getting old. I got kids running around. Like, I watched the movie. I can't tell you anything that happened.
Son of a woman. Hoo-ah!
That's all I can recall from that, right? Because it's been repeated and mocked so many times.
Wait a minute. All right, so I had to look it up, right? They're saying You've Got Mail is a Thanksgiving movie, which, if true, that is number one on my list because You've Got Mail is one of my favorite movies of all time.
God.
That's such a good movie. That's one of the best rom-coms. Come on.
Okay.
No?
Sure, it's fine.
Okay.
Well, like I said, I don't remember anything, right?
Right.
You know, once you get married, you fall into a pattern of rom-coms regularly if you have time to watch a movie with your spouse. And
they don't make them like that anymore, though.
They all run together. They are what they are.
Speaking of run together, so do the Nuggets injuries, Chad.
Stitched together?
Yeah. It is brutal over there. Right,
everybody's hurt. Look, if you haven't caught up, or aren't up to date with what's going on with the Nuggets. Here's the short version. Everybody's hurt. they have now lost 5 in a row. After a nice win streak and moving to 9-4, they've lost their last 5 and fallen to 10th in the Western Conference.
This is a nightmare for them. They're in trouble. They're in real trouble because they were already really thin. And now, I mean, at this point, you can't even fairly critique them anymore with how hurt they are, truthfully. Now, I saw that Bones Highland was questionable for their next game. Isn't that tomorrow?
They play the Bucks tomorrow.
Yeah.
Champs are in town. Giannis is here. Giannis and his Oreo cookies.
Bones Highland was in a walking boot after the last game. I don't understand how he'd be questionable. Now, they didn't have Jokic the other night against Portland. I would imagine he tries to play on Friday. I would imagine with Giannis being in town, because otherwise that thing could get ugly.
If Jokic can't play tomorrow or anytime soon, with Bones out, at least Zignaggi returned, but then P.J. Dozier went down. If you missed that in the last 48 hours or so, P.J. Dozier, torn ACL, he's out for the season.
Thoughts up and prayers up to P.J., because that sucks, man. That sucks.
They've lost another key rotation player. If you don't go check out the Nuggets against the Champs tomorrow, you're not going to see them for a while because it's a 7-game road trip.
At the worst time.
When they're banged up. So it's mostly through the Eastern Conference and then finishing in New Orleans and San Antonio. But it's the rematch with the Heat coming Monday, then Orlando, New York, Chicago, Pelicans, and then back-to-back games in San Antonio with the Spurs. After tomorrow night, they're not back home again until December 13th against the Wizards, who are suddenly a good team. Look, the only positive you can take from this is that it's happening now instead of late in the season, I suppose. So they have a chance to maybe weather the storm, get some guys into the rotation and have them play meaningful minutes and try to salvage wins, right? Whether that's, stealing one or two on the Eastern Conference swing of the road trip, like beating Orlando and getting one of the other games. But the Heat, the Knicks, and the Bulls are all pretty good teams, right? Pelicans are awful, and the Spurs are not good.
Look, Chad, you can preview these games, but the truth of the matter is this is
if Jokic doesn't play, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it really doesn't matter. Without Nikola Jokic, this is the worst team in the league.
I don't know if they're the worst.
They're the worst. They're the worst. They're the worst. Who's worse?
Orlando.
I would rather
Houston.
Orlando. Houston. I would rather both those rosters than this team. The way they're banged up. I mean, they're young. Yeah. I mean, there's more talent on that team. We're talking about this.
Yeah,
we're talking about without Nikola Jokic, without Jamal Murray, without MPJ. This is the worst team in the NBA.
Better than Houston. Well, they're in Gordon and Monte Morris and both Greens. Right. They're still.
It's one of them. It's one of them, though. And it's a problem. And with the way that the roster is constructed, Chad, there's not a ton they can do. They're already way over the cap. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the thing. When you have a real cap, right, there's not a lot of options available. Somebody on the text line was asking if they would bring Lance Stephenson up from the Grand Rapids Gold.
They're about another injury away from doing so.
Might not take another injury, right? Money is... money is an issue because everything that they do to spend more money, they pay more in tax at this point. But, I wrote about this a week ago as to how, on DenverFan.com, how the Nuggets will benefit from finally having their own G League affiliate in the Grand Rapids Gold. And the veterans that are on that team, in Lance Stephenson and Nick Stauskas being a couple of them, are guys that could be quick fixes that they've got a close eye on, right?
What did you say? Sorry, say again.
Lance Stephenson and Nick Stauskas are both on that team, right? Peter Cornelly went down and had some time there. But they've got guys that they've got a close eye on. They're not their two-way players on those contracts, but they're veterans who have been in the NBA that have specialty skills, right? Nick Stauskas as a shooter, but Lance Stephenson, more importantly, is someone who can make plays off the dribble for other people. Right. He's been a defensive specialist in the past, something that could maybe help replace what you're going to miss from P.J. Dozier with him being out of the lineup. But he's not a guy that's like Torrey Craig limited and can't do anything offensively. He can make plays, and he's been making plays for Grand Rapids. He's scoring. He's making other players better, and he's proven to be a little bit more mature so far in mentoring some guys there. So, yes, I think that is a legitimate call-up possibility for the Nuggets. They looked at him last year when the roster was beat up and they had Shaq Harrison as one of the last roster spots, and he got in a few games. They were looking at Lance Stephenson at that point before they went with Austin Rivers. Right.
But the only reason you're bringing up Lance Stephenson, it's not to help. It's to stop.
It's to stop the sinking ship.
Is why.
Yeah, he's not going to be an answer, right? Nobody's going to be an answer when you don't have Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., and now you may not have Bones Highland for a while, and you don't have PJ Dozier, right? I mean, you're bordering on filing for an injury exception.
You know, we had talked at the beginning of the year. If they're going to continue to rely on Nikola Jokic, because truthfully, they didn't bring anybody else in to try and help them get to Jamal Murray, right? To get through that season, that stretch of the season, until Jamal Murray gets back. And we're relying on guys like Monte Morris and Will Barton to step up. Although, you know, I don't think they made the right call there ahead of time. And as a result, they put too much on Nikola Jokic. And as a result, he's already hurt. I mean, he's already had to play 35, 36 minutes a game every night. He was never going to make it to the playoffs healthy at this rate, and it happened early. So really, you reap what you sow. The way that I see it, Chad, because they paid Michael Porter Jr. $200 million after he was horrifically exposed in that Phoenix series. They had to because they felt they had to. But I'll tell you what, I would have been. And I was a proponent in June of shopping Porter and Morris and a first. And now this has serious ramifications for their championship window because they have a lot of money invested in MPJ. And now we don't know what that second opinion he's gotten in Florida is yet. And we don't know if he's out for the season. We assume, but you know, we haven't heard an official ruling yet. He's definitely out indefinitely right now. But even when he was in, he wasn't any good.
Well, he was hurt. He was playing hurt.
Okay. Okay.
You know, I think the thing to take away.
So why pay him $200 million?
Well, he wasn't hurt when they paid him. He was hurt to start the season.
So he got hurt over the summer?
He got hurt in the last preseason game he played. He's been injured since the last preseason game he played.
That was when the definitive injury, because he's had several back surgeries in the past. Right. This isn't a remnant of that at all.
Correct. Well, I mean, I don't know if it's related. I'm not a doctor, and obviously he's getting, you know, multiple opinions on this as to whether or not it's related. He was not injured at the time he signed the deal, and there was no reason
to
expect.
But that was in the fall, too.
There was no reason to expect that his previous histories would lead to another injury when he signed the deal for the Nuggets at that point.
That you have agreement.
But the injury does provide a little bit more context as to why he struggled early in the season. Check out DenverFan.com. I wrote about this the other day. Thank goodness they made the deal for Aaron Gordon last year, because Aaron Gordon is the third best player on this team. You cannot rely on Michael Porter Jr. going forward, regardless of what the contract will say beginning next year.
Yes.
The big three
Thank you, Chad.
Have to frame your championship window around is Jokic, Murray, Gordon, and whatever you can get from Porter, if anything, is going to be a bonus at that point. But check it out at DenverFan.com, where I write about the Nuggets twice a week, every week. Check it out on Tuesdays and Fridays. Chad Andrus, Matt Smith in for you.
On the other side, we should get into that Aaron Gordon just a little bit, because there's some interest, because he stepped up in a big way. There's a lot to talk about there.
Yeah, we'll continue with the Nuggets talk, and then we also need to address something that is become official today and has a big effect. There's going to be a lot of people upset one way or another come Saturday that relates to someone who spent a brief bit of time in our fair burb here in the area. All that coming your way next on The Fan.
Happy Thanksgiving, Denver. In this morning for Chad and Nate, here's Chad Andrus and Matt Smith.
Happy Thanksgiving to you on a beautiful Thursday morning. Chad Andrus, Matt Smith, in for Mark and Mike today. Ty is running the show for Millennial Ben. So I hope you're up and at it and getting your big spread ready for the day. We're about an hour away from kickoff on the first game of the day with Chicago and Detroit in the NFL, and all of those games will be right here on The Fan all day long. Bears, Lions, Raiders, Cowboys, Bills, Saints, all coming up after we wrap up at 10 o'clock here. Couple more thoughts on your Denver Nuggets, currently riding that five-game losing streak with everybody injured.
Did I miss something? did I miss anything, Chad?
No. Okay. Good. You know, everybody's got a break sometimes. The importance of Aaron Gordon, and again, I laid this out on DenverFan.com a couple days ago on Tuesday morning. He's their third best player. Don't get fooled for a second just because Michael Porter Jr.'s got the money going forward that he is the big three with Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, and this is what they're rolling with for the foreseeable future for a championship window. Michael Porter Jr. can't be relied upon for a number of reasons. The most recent injury being one, you can't blame the guy for being hurt, right? Like, I'm not blaming him, but his game has also not evolved to the point where you can rely upon him as a legit big three option to contend for a title. Aaron Gordon's has. Aaron Gordon has proven to be a reliable offensive option in Orlando for the bulk of his time there. He is an elite defender, and he's a big, physical, versatile defender that you need in playoff series. So, you know, the Nug Life thing came up a lot after the Porter news came down, right? They had just lost Sunday night to Phoenix, gotten their doors blown off. And then afterwards, Mike Singer of the Denver Post reports that Porter is seeking a second opinion, could require surgery, could miss the rest of the season, right? And we don't know the extent of his injury. And everybody freaked out. They went straight full worst-case scenario Nug Life, right? This is what always happens, right? Anything that bad that can happen will happen. Expect the worst. You're the Denver Nuggets. You're never going to win a championship. I don't think that's the case, right? I think the diagnosis and where we go from here with Porter is certainly going to be a giant determining factor in the future of the Nuggets, but it alone does not determine their future. Their future is going to be determined by Jokic, Murray, and Gordon.
So if that's the case, then they won't win a ship because that big three doesn't win you a title. If we're
okay,
going to go
but
off,
before,
off of that,
before last season, who said Giannis, Chris Middleton, and Drew Holiday wins you a title?
Oh, before last, I mean, Giannis is a generational talent. If they
so
put the pieces, but here's the difference. But see, here's the what you're missing here. What Milwaukee went and did was they went and got Drew Holiday. Milwaukee went all in and sold out for a championship. Denver never did that.
They did it with Aaron Gordon last year, and then Jamal Murray got hurt.
Well, if you're selling out for a championship with Aaron Gordon, then you don't have the right management in place because Aaron Gordon's not a championship winning. I mean, that's nuts.
If this team.
I'm just going by that logic.
If this team finishes last year healthy, if Jamal doesn't get hurt, and they play in the playoffs, even without Will Barton.
I know.
Even without Will Barton, who hasn't played in the playoffs the last 2 years, if they play with Jokic, Murray, Gordon, and Porter in the playoffs and go into that this year healthy, you don't think that that team can contend for a championship?
I didn't say they can't contend, but I find it very hard to see them moving past where they have already gotten.
Okay, so what's so great about the Western Conference this year that would stop that?
Golden State's really good.
Okay.
They can't score with Golden State. They can't. I mean, they don't have the backcourt.
They could score with anybody when Gordon, Murray, and Jokic were playing together in
right,
that
but
short
that
window.
Was such a small sample size, and that was
okay.
My
well, it's the same sample size that you've seen from Golden State so far this year.
No, that
the
was
amount
like,
of
wasn't
games
that only
they
like
played.
10 games that Murray got.
It was
hurt?
Like 17.
Was it that many? I thought it was only like 10. That's my point. Is that I've heard that a lot, and I understand, and I understand where you're coming from. Look, certainly that's a lot of talent, but the truth is that it takes some really good role players, and it takes legit stars. You, as much as you want to say Aaron Gordon was is a reliable offensive option, I mean, at what number per night? I'm asking, at what number per night is he going to give you with those guys healthy?
With those guys healthy, it's going to be lower because he's not going to have as many
right.
shots.
Without them. Okay, and you're right, and without them.
Without them.
What do you expect from Aaron Gordon right now?
20, 22.
But he's not, isn't he? Isn't he down like 15?
Well, I mean, you're looking at an average for the entire season.
No, I'm just asking you, even the last few games, has he put up 20 in like 16, 15?
He's played great recently.
And you're right. And I'm not trying to take away from that. I'm just saying that if you're going to rely on Aaron Gordon as one of your big three, then, I mean, I think you're fooling yourself, is the truth. Aaron Gordon was a defensive specialist and elite athlete coming out of Arizona. One of my favorite players I've ever covered in college. The kid, first of all, great guy, so exciting to watch. But he had to mold his game. He is not a dynamic threat with the ball in his hands. He's a good scorer, but he's not a dynamic threat. I mean, let's look at the finals last year. Jrue Holiday, Chris Middleton, Giannis, okay? Three dynamic guys. Phoenix, Booker, Paul, Ayton, right?
Yeah, but I think it's the wrong comparison.
Give me the right one then.
It's the wrong comparison because you're looking at the way it's traditionally been done. And the Nuggets, who have not ever had success doing it the way everyone else has done it, are not going to contend and go to the finals and win a championship the way everybody else is doing it. They're going to do it because they have Jokic. And Jokic is a generational offensive
cheat
code.
You're not getting an argument.
So Aaron Gordon does not have to be a one-on-one elite offensive talent because he can roll to the rim and catch dunks from Jokic.
I understand.
Right? Michael Porter does not have to be an elite off-the-dribble, create-your-own-shot guy because he can spot up and be a 40-42% three-point shooter, and that will be enough with Jokic and Murray's playmaking when you have those four guys healthy.
That's if it's consistent.
That's what I'm saying. This team healthy can contend. The problem is they're not healthy, and they're not going to be healthy anytime soon. The one thing that really concerns me is what you mentioned, the weight that it is going to put on Jokic to carry them while everyone else is hurt.
Right.
As well as Will Barton, who has broken down and hasn't been available in the playoffs. Those two things are concerning to me. The other thing that I just absolutely positively pray and hope they do not do, and I know it's going to be very, very difficult because he is such a bulldog mentally, and he wants to be back out there and he wants to help his team, is I do not want them to rush Jamal Murray back.
And it feels like that's where we're headed, to be honest with you, because they are really, really strapped. I mean, unless, and maybe this is what it is, you'd probably never get them to admit it publicly, but unless they know, you know, that this season's kind of a wash right now with these injuries. I mean, truthfully, because how much are you really willing to put on Jokic this year, given the current outlook? Do you want to rush
him
back?
They're not going to punt.
Are you going to rush? No, I'm not saying that they're going to punt. I'm not saying they are going to. That's not what I'm saying. But you also have to be realistic and understand you've got two hands tied behind your back right now without Porter and Murray.
And I think the Nuggets understand that. I hope the fans understand that.
Which is why I don't think they're going to go make a move. That's really why I don't think they're going to make a move. Well, first of all, they can't.
They have no money, and they have no
nobody that
no
anyone,
assets of value right. that are going to get you a return to make a difference.
Yeah, I mean, like, even if you were to package a future first round pick, I don't know who you would package that with. Honest to God, like I there isn't a single player on that bench right now healthy that I could see anyone else really wanting.
You got to have somebody that another team wants that makes enough money to get you something of value in return, and the Nuggets don't have it.
Look, and then next year, you're looking at a team that is still strapped. It is still strapped next year. It's a tough situation.
They got a lot of money going forward tied up in Porter, Gordon, and Murray. And
that's what I'm saying.
Notice the one name I didn't say in there. That could be problematic.
Yep.
We're going to get to a couple of other guys cashing in on a lot of money showing down on Saturday. This is going to be so interesting on our Thanksgiving sports weekend. Next on The Fan.
Happy Thanksgiving, Denver. In this morning for Chad and Nate, here's Chad Andrus and Matt Smith.
Gobble, gobble one. Gobble, gobble two. Gobble, gobble me.
It's a banger.
Gobble, gobble you. Listen to me now. Gobble, gobble three.
You put this on at dinner.
Gobble, gobble.
How could you have any conflicts, Chad? Let it breathe, Ty.
It's a very, One Republic beat.
No, that's what I'm saying. Right. No, he got it right. When he did it, he got it right. It's a very One Republic beat.
I don't want to insult the Denver guys there and compare them in any way, shape, or form. I'm just saying the sound.
No, right? It's very upbeat, positive, uplifting. Yeah, no, absolutely. And it worked. It worked. I'm Matt Smith. That's Chad Andrus in with you on a Thanksgiving morning. There was something really interesting. You know, this time of year, you kind of see some rivalry games. Tonight, we've got the Egg Bowl, clearly. Army-Navy is also coming up. And West Point cadets attempting to nab the U.S. Naval Academy's mascot ahead of the annual Army-Navy game. Well, they got the goat, but it wasn't the right goat. Cadets gave chase to spooked goats, and instead of grabbing bill number 37, they came away with number 34, a one-horned 14-year-old retiree.
You can't feel good about your chances if you can't even pull off the prank.
Apparently, there's a statement by Superintendents Lieutenant General Daryl A. Williams and Vice Admiral Sean Buck. Quote, the U.S. Military Academy and the U.S. Naval Academy are disappointed by the trust that was broken recently between our brothers and sisters in arms. These actions do not reflect either academy's core values of dignity and respect. But look, I mean, this has been like a tradition going back forever. You go get the other school's pig, right? You go take the pig and you spray paint the pig. Isn't that it?
Who has a pig for a mascot?
I mean,
Iowa should, right, but yeah. Who has a pig for a mascot?
Oh, man, that's crazy. In 2018, I guess, Army officials at West Point apologized after a Falcon belonging to the Air Force Academy was injured during a prank. Hey, don't mess with the Falcon. Don't mess with Air Force.
That thing's terrifying when it flies around the stadium, how fast it goes.
Well, can you imagine, though? I mean, you got a bunch of cadets there, and they're looking at a couple of different goats. And one of them's older, clearly. It's only got one horn. It's a little disheveled. That's got to be it. That's our goat.
Let's be honest. All due respect to our fine cadets and all of our service men and women across the country. I'm not saying this to indict anyone or to characterize anyone, but let's be honest. If you're on that mission to steal the goat, you're probably not in the clearest state of mind.
Mission failed.
When you start.
Mission
right?
not
there's,
accomplished.
There's a little pregame involved before you go to steal the goat. Is all I'm saying.
And like, if you get the goat, you have to get the right goat. Like, you can't get the wrong goat. You can't screw that up. Oh, it looks like the Bo Schembechler statue was also spray painted at Michigan, but this one was in support of sexual assault victims. So, look,
they waited for the right week to do it. Yeah, want attention.
Yeah.
Speaking of college football in the Big Ten. I'm a huge college football guy. It's my favorite sport to watch as much as I love all others. I love the pageantry and the passion and the bands and the students and the on campus and the rivalries. And in addition to not getting the right goat, you also can't pay nearly $100 million to the wrong coach. And
oh, okay.
Penn, you're a Boulder guy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people around here still a little salty at Mel Tucker for the way he left.
I'm really not one of them, to be honest with you.
And nobody should be, in my opinion. Like, I mean, you can't blame the guy. He was positioned to be in the college football playoff, right? I mean, and he just got $95 million. He signed the deal this morning.
So you would never,
never
not in
happen.
A million years, not to anybody.
Also, yesterday it was reported that James Franklin at Penn State agreed to a 10-year contract extension. I found it interesting on the heels of the Mel Tucker news that no number has been reported and associated with that. Penn State kept that very quiet.
Very true. What's also interesting about that is those were the two hot names for the LSU and USC spots.
Not only that, Florida now open as well.
Right.
Not only that. They play on Saturday.
Right.
If you're one of the big boosters, if you're one of these alums that cut the check, right, that says
that's a drop in the bucket for
those
guys.
We got to keep these guys, right? I don't do you watch Succession on HBO?
You know, I don't watch it, but I've heard it's fantastic, and at some point I'll get into it.
Fantastic show. Long story short, the last episode was it's late in season two. You got a long way to go before you catch up.
Yeah.
Last episode, the richest men in America convene and basically decide who they are going to crown president because they choose not actual voters. It's a terrifying premise if you really think of it. But if you do something like that the way boosters do with college football coaches, and you shell out that much money, which you have to assume after Mel Tucker's $95 million extension that James Franklin's is close in that ballpark for the same 10 years, they now go head-to-head on Saturday. One of those alumni bases, one of those booster clubs, is immediately going to be pretty pissed off when yeah. their guy loses
yeah.
the first game after the extension.
Yeah, but, you know, both of those guys have proved, especially Franklin, because he's had a bigger body of work, that they're A, deserving of it, and B, are either of those schools going to go get better options? I mean, truthfully, is Penn State going to go get a better coach than James Franklin?
Amazing how all this money showed up after, you know, the tragic loss, the financial disaster that was last year with no games and no fans everywhere.
Funny, yeah, I know. Funny how that works. Yeah, really. I shed a tear for athletic departments.
Quickly, if you're into long shot gambles, ooh, like we talked about earlier this week, don't discount, and I know, look, I'm not saying go bet Michigan. With Harbaugh's history in big games and against Ohio State lately, I'm not saying do this, but don't discount the possibility of a Michigan-Minnesota Big Ten championship game and the Big Ten not getting into the college football playoff. Just don't discount it.
No.
Going into this weekend.
It's certainly a possibility, but after the Ohio State looks like they're clicking at the right time. And in November, these are your gold games in college football. This is where the money's made in November. These are the games you're remembered for, the ones you win in November. And Ohio State drubbing Michigan State the way they did. Look, Michigan State has had a fantastic year. And Mel really won in the transfer market, especially with Kenneth Walker. I mean, he hit a home run. And so there was a lot of that to it. But, you know... Ohio's C.J. Stroud had, I think he was like 23 of 25 for almost 400 yards and 6 touchdowns in the first half last week. Ohio State's rolling, and that's a good football team. You know, it'll be really interesting to see how this all plays out. Now, Cincinnati, what, ranked 4? They're in it now, and don't really see them falling out of it unless somebody else wins. I think it would have to be a circumstance. What are the scenarios you see them falling out?
Oklahoma State beats Oklahoma twice and jumps everybody.
I don't even think they would consider Big 12.
The one thing that Cincinnati has going for them,
it's pretty clear. No,
and
Big
look,
12
look,
team
make
is
no mistake
deserving.
About this. Make no mistake about it. It is by no means a championship. It is an invitational. It is a television show. They choose who looks best on TV. They choose
right.
brand names.
Right.
It is the brand name invitational. It's not the college football playoff. The one thing Cincinnati does have going for it when Oklahoma State may enter the picture is Bob Bowlesby, Big 12 commissioner, accused ESPN of trying to break up his conference in a conspiracy theory. And if there is any way to put a giant middle finger up and stick it to the Big 12 conference, ESPN and its partnership owning the college football playoff would
right.
say, we're not only going to leave Cincinnati in ahead of you, we're going to put 2-loss Alabama in too. So we'll see you next year.
Yep, and I think it's a real possibility to consider. I mean, the Big 12 has got some serious problems with Texas and Oklahoma leaving. They've got to figure out a way to kind of fill that vacuum.
Okay, we got to jump. Appreciate everybody hanging for the fill-in today on Thanksgiving. Enjoy your turkey day. Real quick, Sunday, Broncos, Chargers. Who you got?
I got the Broncos.
I actually think they're going to win.
I have the Broncos.
I feel so uncomfortable backing this team, but I think they're going to go above 500 going to Kansas City, and they're going to just drag this misery out as long as possible.
I'm glad we're getting out of here so we don't have to see what people are about to say on the text line.
All right. I will be back in tomorrow morning with Troy Rink along for the ride on the normal morning show schedule.
I'll be back in the afternoon on the drive with John Davis.
All right. Until then, enjoy your NFL football.
And one more time for good measure, Ty.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.